as you know, I've been doing these podcasts on the computer. I had done one with Mary and one with Rebecca Jancy. Put them up on the website. I sent the links out. So God just inspired that. And I think it's a really good idea for people to be able to share their hearts. And anyone can have a podcast. Like, they can come onto my podcast and share what God's been doing. And, you know, and give a little bit of background about their life. And, you know, let people see how God's people are truly living. And what God has done for each individual. So, yeah, because everything has a cause and an effect. And that's what's been on my mind. You know, cause and effect. Because it's a spiritual law of seed time and harvest, basically. That's what it is. And, you know, one of the most important truths we can understand in life is that point, that everything we do has a knock-on effect. Everything that we touch has a knock-on effect. So it's important how we conduct ourselves with God and how we're moving. And because nothing in our life is random. Nothing just appears out of nowhere. You know, nothing just simply happens without a reason, right? Behind every result, there's a cause. You know, behind every effect, there was a seed. Some type of seed had been sown. So the life of a person living today is not just by accident. I wasn't here by accident. It is the result of what happened and what had been sown over time. You know, so my mum and dad got together, seed was sown, and I grew in my mum's womb. I was conceived in the womb of my mum and then born. And so, you know, I was invisible before to the world, and then I become visible. And that's how things grow. Even in the spiritual, you know, the seed grows into the ground. It's invisible, but it's growing, and the womb of the seed is the ground, and things grow. So this is not just a natural principle. This is a spiritual established law by God also. And I've shared it many times with everyone. And to get the heart of this really is very important because, you know, God gives us seed. And the seed that we use from God needs to be sown wisely. So like in Genesis 8:22, remember I shared, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. So the earth is remaining, and it's still, there's still a time for seed to be sown. And then there's a time of harvesting the seed that was sown. So this means that, you know, as long as the earth is still here, which it is, this system of seed time and harvest will continue, just like the law of gravity. So there'll always be seed time and harvest. So there'll always be a beginning, and then there'll always be a result. You know, so when we pray for laborers, what are we doing? We're giving everything to God. You know, we're doing it from the heart. And, you know, and God will then act below to us, throw out those laborers. So, you know, whenever we need something in our lives, you know, we can trace it back to the starting point. There was a cause. What caused these things to happen? You know, when someone gets in trouble, you know, who caused this trouble? Something happened, and there may be devastation. And then so any investigator will go and see, okay, what caused this problem to happen? So everything that we do, there's is either sowing or reaping, giving and receiving, or cause and effect. And they all, it just comes under one umbrella, really. You know, so, you know, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So getting that concept in mind is so important. This is what's been in my heart. I've been sharing with people that this is really powerful. You know, because it doesn't say what he sows might come back, or what he sows sometimes come back. It, you know, it doesn't say that. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. So this means everything you sow produces something, right? Every thought, because your thoughts are seed. Every word, your words are seed. Every action is a seed, right? So it's very important that, you know, like God really shows us to control our thinking, to not let it get out of bounds. You know, so on the thoughts, how we think, you know, that's seed. Our thoughts are seed. And I don't think people think in these terms. But God's really kind of put it in my heart since, what, 2018, about this very thing. You know, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. This means your thinking is shaping your life. You know, what you think on consistently begins to form. So like your attitude, your decisions, your direction, how you handle things, how you handle yourself, how you handle people, how you think you should behave. So if a person, you know, constantly thinks, you know, I'm not able, or this will not work, things never go right for me, they're right, because that's what they're sowing. So then these thoughts begin to take root in their heart, right? And it grows, like the incubator is the heart for these seeds, that of thoughts and of words. The incubator to grow them is our heart. And over time, those thoughts affect the choices and the words and our actions. So eventually, people, the things that we've been thinking and saying start showing up in our life. And we say, well, I told you so. I was right. So if the results you're getting are not good, then you need to change what you're doing. And so with, you know, instead of thinking I got to work my backside off to pay the mortgage, to pay all these things, we got to remember, hold on, God is my source of my supply. Like, God provides for me. You know, my job is an avenue to be blessed, but God is the source of my provision. So no matter what goes on, God can provide for me greatly. God can pay my house off. He can pay my mortgage off. No, God can do that if we seek him and ask him for his wisdom. And there might be a time we just might have to, steward things and make payments. But God can come in and eradicate a whole debt out of the way. So, you know, our thoughts need to be different to what we carnally think. Our natural mind, or, you know, the natural mind that we've had, which we reckon dead. You know, we don't let that to think no more, but we think from that mind of Christ, right? So, you know, instead of thinking that we're weak and we're, you know, we haven't got this and we haven't got that, you know, we say God is my source and I'm strengthened. I can move forward in great strength. I am prosperous. I am successful. When it changes on the inside of you, then that's where it starts. You know, like a lot of people do confessions. And then after a while they say, well, this don't really work. Because they haven't really been believing what they've said, you know. Because when we believe what we say, when we do it with the heart, you know, that our heart's being built. So, you know, we really are sowing words that will produce. That our actions will be moving in the same way. But if someone that is confessing but doesn't act in that way and doesn't think in that way, they're not going to produce anything. So when we get an idea, like God says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, when we think on those things, it becomes a part of us and we start to think the good things. You know, you see people that maybe you know someone that was not born again and they were not very nice people, you know, and they, you know, they was kind of moody and didn't say kind things, but then they got saved. And they got born again. And then you see a change in them. They're kinder. Their words are good. You know, I can think of one person. Myself. You know, I never used to be so great or nice with some of the things that I would say. You know, but now I'm being renewed. You know, like it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this shows us that what we're doing is a practice. You know, we practice with the confessions. We don't just give up because we think, well, they don't work and it's just repetition. It's like repetition, vain prayers, empty prayers. It's not. You know, because the more you say something, the more is going into your heart, the more you're watering that seed that you're saying, and the more it's going to start producing. You know, so when change begins within, then change can start appearing without. So your thoughts are not harmless, you know, and they're seed. So they're having an effect. They're not like not doing nothing. And it all depends what type of seed they are. If you're, you know, if our thoughts are negative and bad words and we're thinking the worst all the time, you know, then that's what we are really going to, you know, manifest. And it is really true. Like when someone says they can't do something, they really can't. Because they believe that. They say it. Oh, no, I can't do that. I'm not qualified or I don't know enough. I mean, I've said these things myself. Like, oh, I can't do a podcast. There's no way I can do a podcast. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have the knowledge of what to do. But then I got this recording equipment and I realised, oh, I could do a podcast. And then so I go about finding out how to begin to do it. But I began. And I began by getting the recording equipment. First, I got the recording equipment to get better quality audio. And then it's developed into doing what I'm doing now. You know, and people have been saying to me for a long time, oh, you should do podcasts. You know, you'll be good at interviewing people. You'll be good at asking the questions. And you'll be able to encourage people this way. You know, and I thought, yeah, I could do that, but I don't know how to do it. But God's got a way. Like, if there's a willing heart to do something, then God can provide you the right words, the right direction to move in that way, you know. And, like, you are where you are. You know, you're praying for labourers, you're praying for new fields, and you want to see changes. You don't want to see the same results. And you don't want to see the same people unless they're faithful and they're connecting to you and you're working with them. You want brand new people. You know, people that have really been sent by God, that are hungry, that you can work with. New people that, you know, we're not working in another man's field where they laboured before. Like it says in Romans 16, I believe, or Romans 15, you know, Paul didn't want to work in another field that's already been worked in. And, or, you know, to work with other people. I want, like for me, I like brand new, fresh people. And there are people that come to me onto our Zoom fellowship, they connect and they're hearing the great words that God is sharing and doing, so they get attracted by God. God leads them to connect. You know, like Ethel, she connected out of the blue to me. Sakina connected to me. You've connected to me. Marie Carroll's connected to me. Who else is there? Mary Way connected to me. You know, she's seen me on YouTube and she's, you know, she liked some of the things I was sharing. She got encouraged by it. And then she's seen how to get in contact with me. She's seen that we had a website. So there's a cause and effect. You know, I'd done the YouTube. And the cause of that, you know, led her to the website. Led her to want to join the fellowship. Led her to want to connect. And led her to want to honour God as well. She rung me up. Or she got in contact with me. And I said, yeah, you can come on the fellowship and I'll send you the links. And she also asked, she wanted a monthly share. And where did she send it to? So I gave her all that information. But, you know, if I didn't have the YouTube up, she would never probably got in contact with me unless God miraculously gave her my telephone number. So using the internet for things is a good thing. You know, we can use things for our advantage as God leads us and as God shows us. So for me as an individual, I know the website that I'm doing is a great source of blessing where people can hear not just me, but anybody else that I put on there. And you know, many people have connected up and got back together. They've reconciled. Like Patrick Dunn, he had someone called Victor Rance who connected back to him because he found him on my website. Victor found him on my website, my other one I had. So the website has been proved to be a source of blessing and connection for people and to bring people back together, you know, because God always starts with his house. He's always building this house. And I realized also, like, you know, see, there's nothing different to the West and to India and to Nepal. And the only difference is that I found is that is our the people that we address. It's like we've got a different audience. There's people that we address that have a background with some ministries or churches, some type of religious background that they have. And then so when they hear what we got to say, unless they're humble and meek, they're pretty weary, like they're wary, like, oh, are they teaching some weird things? Is it a cult? We have a lot of people that have paradigms where they've been ingrained with traditional teachings. So and when you teach them the truth, you know, like speaking by the Spirit, that you don't need to go to the Bible all the time, then people run away, like they run away. But in India and Nepal, they don't have the Bible, they don't have those things, so they can really receive the words gladly. Just like in the book of Acts, you know. But Sangha had to take that step. Once God showed him, listen, you need to speak by the Spirit. And then Sangha started to encourage that. You know, the guys in India received it really well. Now, there were some that didn't because they were already being affected by somebody else that was trying to teach them the Bible that was going to India, you know. So there was a kind of little bit of a conflict there, but it got resolved and the work is really moving in India and Nepal. And again, so what we say, what we think, what we do is so important. You know, the whole life is conditioned by words. And it's only the truth that sets people free. And some people will say, well, Lawrence, that's your truth. Hold on a minute. Lawrence don't have any truth. You don't have any truth. God has the truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, right? And so it's very funny how people say things. But when, you know, you've been praying to God like I have for a long time and I'm asking God, you know, you show me, you give me the right things to do, God. I know death and life is in the power of my tongue. I know that my words and your words carry power. They carry power to build faith, or they carry power to bring confusion or fear to people. So we need your heavenly words, Father. You know, so our words are not just sounding, you know. They're not just expressions of how I feel. Words are powerful. Everything we're saying is so powerful. And so it's really important what doctrine we're listening to. And the doctrine, like Sangeet put out that sharing again, about the purpose of the scriptures. And he explains it wonderfully in there, you know. And obviously, you know, we're thankful to God for the scriptures and they're living and real. And, you know, the word is living word, that written word, which was once spoken and then recorded. That's what that is. That's the logos, right? And now we got these heavenly words that God has given us, you know. And even Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. Lifetime, you know, proceeding. And is like in a flow. So God is giving words for us today, you know. And then we got the scriptures to verify what we do also and establish what we're doing. The scriptures kind of give it a final say when we go to them. And so again, like all life is conditioned by words. So we're either getting the pure words from God, or we're getting traditional teachings from men, or man's logic, you know. And we don't want man's logic. In like in Matthew 12:37, you know, Jesus said, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So what you speak matters greatly, and we want to speak those heavenly words. So if a person's continues saying, you know, like, I never get through this, I'm stuck, nothing works for me, we can only do things this way, you have to study the Bible, you have to know Greek and Aramaic and all that, you know, people are going to be so indoctrinated and limited, they're not going to move in the power of God because they're too busy trying to get a balance of the scriptures, you know, like Spadazzo, study to show thyself to prove. People think that study is getting your Greek concordance and your Aramaic concordance and your Bible and then working and trying to get it back to his original sayings. But it doesn't mean that. You know, like, as we know, study is the Greek word spadazo, and it means to put forth a diligent effort. And in that diligent effort, we're to put forth a diligent effort rightly proclaiming the word of truth. That was one translation of that scripture in 2 Timothy 2:15. And it talks about, the whole conversation is about words. You know, so there's different types of words we can use. And God was just showing me all about these things. And like, we have to be careful how we're saying things. Not like we're worrying about what we're saying, but, you know, even when we're talking to ourselves, you know, we could be thinking negative and speaking negatively to ourselves in our own thoughts. You know, and those thoughts are taking shape. And then it comes out of that mouth. Like, and if we're in a bad mood and someone says something to us, then we can tell them what we really think, which isn't made. If we tell them what we really think, that doesn't make that truth or right. So God has just been working in my heart, showing me about the sowing of our words. You know, and what we speak, if we want to change things, we've got to speak differently. You know, we got to trust God that, you know, that a great harvest is coming. and that he means what he says and says what he means. And so God has just shown there's different types of seed, and it starts with our thinking, you know, and then our words. You know, our words are powerful. Our actions are also seed. Like in Hosea, verse 12, it says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. So when we sow righteousness, doing the right thing, then when we need mercy and help, we get it. You know, Ecclesiastes 11 says, cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. So this shows that what you do matters. See, everything we do matters. If you cast your bread upon the water, it's going to come back to us after many days, right? You'll find it after many days. That's what it's saying. If you're sowing seed, you're going to find a result of the seeds you sown. Whether it's apple seeds for trees, or, you know, lettuce or tomatoes or runner beans or flowers or, you know, trees, bushes. If you sow those seeds, those things will start to grow in the ground, you know. And if we sow seeds that will cause people to be happy, you know, we're going to get happiness back. We're going to get blessed. We're going to see people have joy, right? Because we're saying good things, and we're speaking the good things. So, you know, how we live matters, and how we treat people matters, and how we respond to situation matters. Like, every action is a seed. So when you act in faith and kindness, consistency and obedience, then those things do not disappear. They are planted, and in time they come back. So when you're doing good, you know, like I've had a lot of people come back to me, like Becky, for example. She was a young girl. She come here, we looked after her, and then she went off, and she come back again, and we helped her, and then she went off again, away from God, away from the fellowship, doing her own thing. But then she finally came back because she knew this is where she was going to be blessed by God. And God directed her to come back to us, because we were always giving her encouraging words. Just like me, I know Sange always gives good encouraging words. And I endeavour to practice that same way. Like, you know, we don't give up. And, you know, so there is a process of what we're doing. Sowing and reaping, giving and receiving. Giving and receiving, but there's also a cause and effect. Has what I done cause a good effect? Is it impacting people in a good way or a bad way? And so that's important to understand, because there's often a gap between the seed and the harvest. When you sow the seed, you don't get the harvest the next day, do you? There's a period of time to reap. So you don't plant that seed today and then see a full result tomorrow. There's a process. And God wants us to understand, like when we're doing confessing, well, you know, when God inspires us to say, well, I am the head and not the tail, I am victorious in the situation. My God has given me the victory in every situation. No weapon that is fashioned against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rise up against me in judgment, I shall absolutely condemn. I am healed. I am restored. I am recovered. Now, we may not be recovered. We may not be fully manifest in the recovery or the healing. But if we say that, because that's what we truly are before God, we're healed, we're restored, we're recovered, we will reap the right things of that, because we're saying that people that have not been well and then started to confess God have become well. They've been healed. You know, I can remember Priya, you know, when she had that curry that exploded and went all over her face. She had third degree burns on her face when she come to our house. But you know what? After a couple of days, you know, Sangha encouraged her. You're healed. You're fine. Everything's great. And then, you know, because she come here and she had these glasses on and her face to hide this all these burn marks. We seen them. But within 3 days of her being here and speaking good words, no, you're fine. Everything's good. Kim looked at it. No, you're really good, Priya. It'll all come off your face. She went in the bathroom and started to wipe her face, and all the burn marks just come off onto the tissue, and she had brand new skin underneath. Baby-like skin. And by the time she left here, she was completely healed. By the time she went to Ireland, I believe, I think she just had little remnants of the splashes, but that all healed up. She had no scarring or nothing. And, you know, because of the good words that were spoken to her by her dad and by her mum, And she, you know, because she was coming to England, she was coming to travel Europe. And, but she wasn't going to come. And then I can remember Sangit calling me, said, you know, could you speak to Priya and give her some encouragement? And I said, yeah, I'll do that, Sangha. And that's what I done. And then I said, come on, you can come over, you'll be fine. Like, everything will be good. And so it did, you know, so we didn't lie. Now, if people looking in on that situation, they would say, oh, they're lying to her, you know, because look at the state of her face. It's terrible. Like, she shouldn't be going anywhere. She should be in hospital. But she made that trip, you know, and it's a really fantastic, powerful testimony. So what we're saying, and we stick to, and we don't budge from, and we build in faith. Well, you know, you've got many labourers. You've got hundreds of thousands of labourers. You've got many ready-to-go fields. I had a believer come to my house one time, and I was saying this to him, and he said, no, you haven't. Don't lie, you've got nothing. And this was someone that was strong at the time. And I was like, how can you say that? How can you say against what I'm saying? Because you're looking at it through your carnal eyes, you're not looking at it through your spiritual eyes. So through the spiritual eyes, that, you know, that's where faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Galatians 6:9 says, in due time you shall reap if you faint not. We don't faint in our mind of the vision that God has given us of labourers, of many different fellowships, of people connecting to us and coming to us and calling us. You know, I've stayed faithful, and I definitely haven't been perfect, that's for sure, right? Through the years, as you well know yourself. But I'm faithful. I stick with God according to my understanding. Even if I'm doing something wrong at the time, I might think I'm doing it right. But once I start to realise, oh, Lawrence, this is not quite right. You need to really change. You need to listen to what's being told you. Then I humble down. I'm like, okay, God, I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you for loving me and putting me right and help me to get into alignment with this right way. And that's what God done for me. And that's why I connected back with Sangha. Because God showed me where I was wrong. But it was okay. He knew my heart. He understood why I was doing what I was doing. And speaking the way I was speaking. And teaching the way I was teaching. Because it was the way I was taught. It was from the examples given me. But you can't always blame other people for the way you are. Like, you know, like we learnt a lot of things from a certain ministry. But I can't keep blaming that certain ministry for how it affected me. I need to do something about it. I need to change. So if there were certain things that certain ministry taught me that was harmful, then it's up to me to go to God and get the right teaching, the right doctrine, the sound words on that, so I can heal from that and move in the power of the right words. And so, like, you know, people... All of us, you know, we can easily blame other people. It's easy to do. It's the most easiest thing in the world. I've done it, you know, so I know it's the most easiest thing to do. Instead of taking accountability for ourselves and going to God and say, okay, Father, like, you know I'm not perfect. I know I wasn't taught right in a lot of things, but I'm not going to make that as an excuse to stop me moving forward. And I've been praying for labourers. I haven't really seen many, but I know that you're faithful. I know they're there. And I know that the fields are white unto harvest. And that you got the labourers there for me. They're there. They're there. So I thank you for them becoming visible in front of me. And for my ready-made fields to become visible in front of me. So, you know, I may not see an immediate result. But it doesn't mean that nothing is happening. Something is happening beneath the surface. Just like the seed is growing. You put the seed in the ground, you can't see it, but something is happening. People might think it's not doing anything. But the earth gives power to the seed to grow. And this is where many people miss it. Like when you honour God with your money, that is seed. God says money, your money's seed, right? And we're to honour God with our substance and the first fruits of all our increase. Now we may not see nothing straight away. Maybe for a few months, I didn't, if I'm honest. Didn't see a lot in the beginning parts. But over time, then things started to happen. I never went without, and I always had seed to sow, funnily enough. But the goodness of that sowing seed started to manifest. because of the consistency and faithfulness. Now, if a seed needs watering, and I don't water it because I don't think it's doing nothing, then it could lay dormant and not really come up to produce its full growth. But if that seed is watered, nourished, looked after, as it should be, concerning what type of seed it is, then it's going to have every chance to grow to its full potential. And it's the same with us, with our words, with our thinking, with our actions, with our sowing our seed, you know. And, you know, so some people, they might give a large amount, and then they don't see nothing come back, so they never give a large amount again. I've done it. I've been there myself years ago, you know. I give a large amount once, and I thought, you know, God's going to really bless me for doing that. And then, like, months went past, and I was not even breaking even. I'm thinking, what's going on here? Something's not right, you know. And I think it's a load of rubbish. I got discouraged, you know. And so I always gave small. But then when I regained my confidence and God showed me about this seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping, cause and effect, then, and he showed me that scripture in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, then I started to practice. I thought, I've got to put this to the test again. It's an experiment. When you begin, you're experimenting with your faith. Does this really work if I sow my seed? But I got to give it time to grow. I got to give it time to move. So a lot of people have sown great seeds, but they give up before the harvest appears, you know. But God is faithful. He even says in the scripture that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, right? Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? You know, and the other thing is, you can't sow one thing and expect something different. If I sow apple tree seeds, I'm going to get apple tree seeds. I'm going to get apple trees, sorry. I'm not going to get orange tree, am I? I'm going to get apple tree. Like in Job, there's a scripture in Job. It says, they that sow wickedness reap the same. That's in Job 4:8. So the result always matches what is planted. So if you sow negative thinking, negative speaking, negative actions, then that's what you'll grow. But if you sow truth, faith, right actions, then that is what will come back for you. So you change your future, and you change it today. You start doing the things that is going to work for you, that God says will work for you. And that's the encouraging truth of this, what I'm saying, is that no matter what happened in the past, you're not stuck. And you're not going to continue to get the same results that you've been getting. Very little and few between, right? Because if you begin from today, what I'm saying, with this sowing and reaping, you will reap a harvest of labourers. From today, when you pray with expectation that when you pray for a labourer, you're getting one. You're going to get more than one. And you be rich in your prayer. You pray earnestly in your prayer for those labourers, like it's your greatest need. So you're sowing your prayer to God. When you're praying, it's like sowing a seed to God. And like it says in 2 Corinthians, like when we honour God with our finances, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And so, you know, if we sow stingily, though we only pray once or twice for a labourer, then don't expect why you haven't got one, because you don't really want it. If you really want something, you'll go on to God for it. He says, ask, and you shall receive. And actually, the translation is, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. No, we put it as Ashish used to say, pulling on God's trousers. You're pulling on his trousers so much they might come down and you embarrass him. Right, so that's what we need to do. We pray, Father, thank you that you've sent the labourers to me. Like, we pray like we've already got it. That's what Jesus said in Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So what you're saying is forming, is being formed by what you've said previously. What you've got today is formed by what you've previously said. And so we want to start sowing the right things, thinking the right things. So if we begin to change our thinking and change our words and change our action, then over time, not immediately, the results will change. So I've been doing this since 2020. I changed my attitude. That's the first thing I done. I got humbled before God, and then God showed me to connect to my minister. And then so I connected, and I changed my attitude towards my minister. I become humble. I become meek. I started to listen. I made up my mind with God that I would do exactly what this man says, because God is working in him and God wants me to connect to him. And God would have me connect to him so I can learn from him, because he's doing these things that God is showing. And he's also getting the results. So over time, things for me has definitely changed on every level. Every level that I've encouraged the fellowship. You know, speak in tongues, speak by the Spirit, pray for labourers, honour God with your substance, stay connected. It works. No one can tell me any different. And, you know, because I not only encourage it, but I live by it. I do it myself. So, like, you know, you could begin right now to really have a powerful, powerful change in your life, in what you get, you know, and remembering that there's a cause and effect and it's always working. Remembering that sowing and reaping is always working. You're always sowing something, your thoughts, your words, your action, and in time you will get the results. So now we continue to strongly pray for the labourers, continue to strongly honour God with your substance, continue to strongly to connect, continue strongly to speak by the Spirit, continue strongly to pray for the labourers, because we're going to see great results. The end results of what we're doing faithfully and consistently is going to be a wonderful harvest of glory to God. You know, because God wants to do these things for us and through us and in us. Now, God is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he wants us to be successful. But if you're doing stuff kind of out of line with what's being encouraged, you won't get the results that you've been told you can have. Like, I know all this different going to different fellowships here and there is not going to bring you many labourers and many ready-to-go fields. You might get a few blessings here and there because God is good. But God wants you to have your own fields, your own people. Like, if you look in India, those people weren't there before, but Sangate prayed, you know, and God brought in the people. And God keeps bringing in the people because Sangate's still praying. And so those people have turned from 1 to 10, to 10 to 50, from 50 to 100, 100 to 500, 500 to 1,000, 1,000 to 10,000, 10,000 to 100,000, 100,000 to the millions. And so on, it will continue because he's not changed the right things that work. He's sowing the right seed. He's moving in the right cause, which has given him the right effects. And we got to just open our eyes to what's being done. You know, and we are having the same results as India and Nepal. Now, you may think to yourself, no, we're not, Lawrence. I don't see all the hundreds of labourers and the signs, miracles. We are seeing it. It's already there. It's already began. You got to think this way. You got to speak that way. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you speak and what you think as seeds, they're going to produce. And it might take just a little bit more time. But it's happening. For the manifestation of those seeds to grow, an oak tree didn't grow as big as it did in 1 year. Maybe 50 years, 100 years. The redwood trees in California, they're massive. Hundreds of years old. They didn't grow like that overnight. But they're there. It outlived the people that's seen it through each generation, from many generations. 200 years old, 300 years old, however old they are. They're massive. You can even cut a hole in it and drive a car through them. That's how big these trees are. But it took time to grow. And if you look in 2006 when I went to India, compare it to 2026, that's 20 years later, is massive. It's grown massive. They're like redwood trees of California in India and Nepal. And I think Nepal accelerated really quickly, quicker than India did. But India's still growing, and so is Nepal. And so now we've got to get focused and serious of what we're doing. We've got to make sure we got the right equipment, the right words, the right thoughts, the right actions. You know, we're connected in the right place. We're sowing the right seeds. We're doing the things that God would generally have us do. Not playing it safe. You can't, if you're walking by faith, you don't play it safe. People play things safe. Well, we've got to have a nice little bit of money behind us before we can go full time. No, if God says go full time today, would you do it? Would you give up your job? Would you stop everything you're doing? That's where you got to be. And that's where I was. I was in debt as well. And it's not a good thing to go full time in debt because you still got to pay it back. But if you've got no money coming in to pay it back, how are you going to get out of debt? Because you trust God. And like God says, like what he says to me, he says to you. If you take care of my business, I will take care of yours. You know? Now, I've had to connect. I've had to learn. I've had to see the people, see the examples. I go back. I want to get it. You know, there might be errors I'm not really fully getting there. But I'm getting there. And I'm getting it now. And so these things are just so important to really consider. Don't get comfortable where you are. If you're getting loads of growth and loads of increase, then be comfortable. But if you're not, I wouldn't get comfortable. I would get rested in God and then thinking about what I'm saying, what I'm thinking, what I'm doing, what I'm preaching. Am I speaking along the same lines? Even the scripture says that we're to speak the same things. You know, we're to have the same thoughts, the same heart. And, you know, God is working in that. Because God is not going to speak one lot of thing to you and a different lot of thing to me and then get the same results. It's not going to happen. It doesn't work that way. You know, so it's like it doesn't work like that way in natural living on the five senses. You know, if you go one way, you go that way and you're that way. Or you're going another way and then you're that way. Everything after its kind. Even God set the world up like that. Tree bearing seeds of the same kind. You know, humans breed with humans. We got the same seed. We don't breed with cats or dogs. Everything after its kind. It reproduces. So what are they doing to produce labourers? To produce signs, miracles and wonders? That's what we got to be doing. And that's why we need to be very humble and to cease from our works and our knowledge and what everybody else has told us to do that and we haven't seen the things. And we need to listen where the things are happening and where there is fruit and where there is growth. Jesus said you should know them by their fruits. And that also is talking about the ravenous wolves, the wolves in sheep clothing. You know them by their fruits too. So it's very simple to me, like God's just made this very plain. You know, we will if we want to see great outreach, like we see in India and Nepal, it's available here. We just got to do what they do. And the only difference I see is not the culture or the crime, it's the doctrine and the results and the hearts of the people. Because you've got to have a willing heart to move with God. You've got to be humble and meek to move with God. You've got to be willing to change at the move of God. And you've got to be willing to move with God. You've got to be willing to be bold and speak like in the manner I'm speaking. A lot of people will reject what I'm saying. But I'm speaking truth. And it's not Lawrence's truth. And it's not Sandgate's truth. It is God's truth. That's what the truth is. That's the truth that sets you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. If you continue in that truth, that's what will make you free. So we continue in the truth that God is given and the direction that is proceeding forth. You know, and God wants all his people to prosper, everyone to prosper, not just the leaders, not just the good followers, but everyone should be able to prosper and be successful financially and not struggle if they're honouring God with their substance. Everyone should, that desires a fellowship, should have labourers if they're listening and following. But you've got to follow. You've got to practice the things that are being encouraged. And that's what I see. They clearly keep things on track in India as well. If someone goes off doctrinally, those people are lovingly spoken to. I know they are. I've been there when they've done it with certain leaders and they fine-tune. They're not reproving them and running them down. They're just saying, listen, this is not quite right. This is the real way to move. And I'm saying the same thing. This is the real way to move. Simple, sound doctrine, heavenly words from God, doing the things he puts in your heart, moving where the flow is. No, I think maybe sometimes we can be moving against the river rather than flowing with the river. And the river of God that is running in India and Nepal wants to run in England and Europe and USA. And we need to jump in the river and stop walking against it and flow with it. No, because it should be at the heavenly flow. That's the heavenly flow I'm talking about. The rivers of heaven, you know, flowing in the right direction. Instead of walking against them, where the water can come hard against you, you know, we turn around and we lay back and let the river of God take us to our destination. So, you know, I wanted to share these type of things with you, give you a different perspective that God's given me. And, you know, because I know we're going to see great things happen. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. The past is the past. It doesn't matter what's happened and how people have been. We can all move together. And we can all move in the right direction. Just need to start being bold and declaring these things and not be afraid to move. Step out of the normal. You know, because we want the abnormal of God, which is the normal. But people want to go the carnal normal. They want to do the churchianity normal. We want to do the God normal, the normal Christian life, which is signs, miracles and wonders, people being delivered, set free, reconciled back to God, and also for them to encourage to move with God like we are. And we're going to do it. And it's being done in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.